studying. Let's see if they actually study though. I can't see. Bacteria is useful for genetics because many reasons. Let's see. It's useful because of its relative genomic simplicity. Haploid genomes, short generation times, large numbers of progeny, ease of propagation between numerous vertical differences. Okay, let's elaborate. Bacteria is less complex because of the fewer genes. Haploid genomes allow direct observations of mutations. And there's no interference with dominance, like in eukaryotes. Observational mutation without, I cannot spell mutation, okay, without interference, dominance / recessive interactions between alleles, a rapid reproduction, that's how bacteria spreads. Large numbers of progeny is self-explanatory. I can't speak. Ease of propagation, that means you could grow microbes in a liquid culture or on culture plates. Numerous heritable differences. Mutants are very easily created, identified, isolated, manipulated because of its single chromosome. Which is pretty cool. Well, at least to me. Identified, isolated, manipulated. What are ways to analyze bacterial culture? Bacteria propagates by binary fission and fusion. Two different processes, because fission separates, fusion combines. Yeah. Oh, this is a good song. Bacterial cultures. So binary fission process where bacterial chromosome replicates and each copy is distributed to each of the cells, the progeny cell. Copy is distributed to each of the progeny cells. Cycle lasts about like 20-30 minutes, and there could be more than one copy. Okay. It's 20-30 minutes. Plus more than one copy. It is clonal, which means the daughter cells are genetically identical to one another to the original cell. I'm right, okay. The daughter cells are closely bacterial cells, genetically identical to one another and to the original cell. That is how they create the colony. Okay. Two types of nutrients that could grow. Okay, I remember this. What could grow? Our growth plate with a semi-solid growth medium, like agar jelly. Because I did this last year. Which is very cool. Actually, no, I won't explain it. I don't want to sound so nerdy. let's see. So, with... okay, so... Two types. Bacterial growth methods. Two ways. So instead of doing lo-fi music, I decided to try singing with some regular music if you could hear it in the background. Yeah, let's see how it goes. Because I usually interchange between the two of them, but I was feeling more of a let's jam out mood as I tried to cram for genetics. Growth plate with a semi-solid medium. They're both the same. But the medium in the growth phase has an agar that will congeal. That's the difference. Growth plate agar congeal. Oh, it's Pazzy. I start singing, I'm so sorry guys. I know I don't have a good singing voice, but sometimes I get lost in the moment. Please save. I miss being alive. I love Bobby. Oh, no, wait, hold on. Please don't fuck that up for me. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's see. Wild type. Wild type bacteria relies on normal functioning of all genes. They're essential for growth. There's a mutation that essentially means that bacteria is ineffective. Oh my, they synthesize. They could be anaerobic. So they synthesize. Required compounds. And elements. And other compounds. Other compounds. Pretty cool. What is it? Carbon is a very big source, such as a simple. Such as a simple. Such as the monosaccharide, I think it's monosaccharide, glucose, plus nitrogen sources, and others. Obviously they require water and oxygen, because that's, well, oxygen is the more anaerobic. Glucose. All living organisms essentially need glucose, because ATP, glycolysis, and all that other part. Because it produces energy. Okay. There's such thing as a minimum medium, which means it contains only the basics. Not really feeling that song right now. That sounds fine. Sugar solute, just glucose, water, some inorganic materials, and nitrogen. Yep, okay. Glucose is always the fucking sugar source, which you need. As nitrogen. Only wild type can really grow in a minimal medium, because it has everything. And that's a very specific type of strain. Okay, it has the bacteria. Because you got phototrophs and you got oxytrophs. And I think there might be one more. It's a big mix of English and Korean songs, so hopefully you don't mind if you're able to hear it. Because I personally believe whether or not you understand language or you speak it, you should be like, you'll be able to understand, or maybe not start, not understand, you'll be able to enjoy the music. Because music is a very, it's a universal phenomenon, you know? And people who are assholes about other people listening to music in different languages can go fuck themselves. Okay, sorry for that little rant. I just, it hits me. alright. Prototrophs. What are prototrophs? Prototrophic. I can't spell it, but prototrophic strength. That's it. Okay, there we go. Oh, God. No, I'm not talking about prototrophs. I know what they are. Stop it. Stupid spell check. Okay. So they produce all the compounds, because it's not mutated. It's wild type, which means it's normal. Can I just say, the weirdest thing in genetics is that if you're normal, or like you have the basics, okay, maybe not basics, basics not the right word, but if you essentially kind of are normal, then you have the wild type allele, which sounds very stupid, because, what you know, like, when someone says wild type, you kind of think, oh, they're like, not normal. Do you know what I mean? Well, here's a genetics lesson that you never asked for. Sorry, I get very excited about science. okay, prep for the metabolism, growth, reproduction, using energy via glycolysis. What the hell is that? Obviously, there are no mutations. As I've said so many times, no mutations before growth equals I'm getting now. Oxotroph or oxotrophic strains are different because of the mutant. So it doesn't matter if one gene or multiple genes there. If there's a mutant in the genes, they won't be able to produce all the essential compounds they need to grow. So that means they're pretty fucking useless. Okay, wait, mutant for one more genes. Which means, that implies that they lack the ability to produce essential compounds or grow. And therefore, there's not therefore something. Therefore, it cannot grow in minimum. Medium, and they grow in a very special minimum need. Therefore, they have to grow in a minimum medium. So the cool thing about this, okay, maybe I always say cool because it's cool for me, although it might not be cool for you. But I'm saying anyways. So oxytrope, since they can't, because they have that mutant. If you ever think about other organs, like, not parasites, but like, organisms that live symbiotically, oxotrophic bacteria is an example of one of them, because they need to feed off their host for all the nutrients that they lack, which is kind of cool. if this doesn't interest you, hopefully it's boring you to sleep and you're using this audio to sleep. If you're listening. But yeah, okay, I'll stop talking about science. Always giving you a lesson. Alright. Species with, I can't spell. I can never spell species with complex growth. Carbon, such as symbiotic organisms. Then yourselves from butcher of the land. And their house. A lot of people think, I can't believe we keep going on this, but a lot of people think symbiotic organisms are bad, but it's actually, that's not true. A lot of them could be like good and actually essential for both species. I think one of the examples that I could think of, I don't know if it's, I don't know if I'll be right. Also, this is a very good song if you could hear, listen to this. I'm getting sidetracked, man. But this is a very, very lovely song. Anyways, if you think about, I think there are certain fish that kind of help whales. I forgot what they do, but they live symbiotically with each other, and it's beneficial. You know, it's not all symbiotic. Relationships could be negative, like parasites and such. Well, actually, no, parasites not beneficial. But yeah, symbiotic relationships between organisms aren't negative. It's either they both benefit or only one benefits, but the other's not affected. I'm pretty sure my definition of that is right. Or at least I hope so. Okay, enough geeking around. Focus. Trophic grow on a complete medium, that means the supply contains more than just glucose and nitrogen. So is there any other compounds that require for growth, such as amino acids, DNA and RNA, nucleotides? Wow, what the fuck? They lack that. Oh right, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because mutations, obviously. Stupid. They can throw only back supplemented minimum medium. That means oxytrophs can grow in a specific medium if that medium provides what they lack. So if they can't synthesize an amino acid like leucine, then that strain will be called, it's an oxytrophic bacteria that's leucine minus or leucine minus. And in order for it to grow, you just put that bacteria into the plate with leucine. I'm pretty smart. I'm joking, pretty stupid. Amino synthesized leucine, which is called LU. So then it is called the strain is leucine minus. Yeah, okay. Leucine minus. Okay, cool. And a supplemented medium. Lactose is one of them. It's very important. Everything about the freaking lack off of them and all that kind of kills me sometimes. Some can grow, okay, not all bacteria grow in glucose, but it could be lactose. I'm pretty sure fermentation is different as well, but I could be wrong. Takes certain bacteria strength grow in more complex, you know, sugar is different from glucose, such as lactose. Yeah. Freaking cool of using different media to identify bacteria is to see whether or not they grow or fail. Yeah, okay. I hope if the music is a little loud that you enjoy it. My music tends to vary depending on my mood, and hopefully you find it. Hopefully you like it. Anyways, okay, the goals are determined genotypes of strains on the basis that they can grow or not in these mediums. Replica plating, that's what it's called. Replica plating is a simple process transferring from a bacterial colonial on the original growth plate to another. Yeah, that's how they determined if bacteria replicates. In a 1954, I think, experiment, each bacterial colonial on the OG plate to what is the key features of this? It transfers in the same relative position. That's a key feature. It transfers in the same relative positions. So that means it allows direct comparison of growth. To assess ability or inability to grow. That's why replica plating is very important in bacterial analysis. Okay. you guys would like to know, for whatever reason, to whoever's listening to this audio and paying attention, if you would like to know the music that I'm playing, just let me know. And I'll put a table or something on the post to indicate what music I'm listening to. If you're that interested. Because I know some people aren't. At least the people who are listening. I have no idea. Oh no, 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 no. What are you doing? Don't do that. I don't know if my voice sounds raspy, but if it does, it's because I haven't talked to anyone or talked at all in a while, so I'm sorry for that. Characteristics of the bacterial genome. There's so much. Because bacterial genomes are highly variable in size, because there can be like thousands, millions of base pairs, and the number of genes coded, it also varies from like a couple hundred to a thousand. Hard thing about genetics. Okay. Most bacteria are singular, and it's singular, meaning there's only one, and it's usually in a circle, typically, but some aren't. The ones that aren't, fuck you. Okay, the bacterial chromosomes, usually the ones that are the circular one. Single, circular, structure. Close, obviously. And of course, it's called chromosome because it carries the genes that are essential to metabolic and growth activities. There's a very high portion of DNA sequence of the bacterial genome which codes for proteins. And which can I also I feel like this audio is just gonna be me nerding out about science, and I'm so sorry about that. But one of the weirdest things, or maybe not the weirdest, well, you know, humans are very weak. And delicate human beings, if you think about it. Oh my goodness. Sorry, that was. I have no idea if the mic picked up that loud sound, but I think someone fell. Or I think that's my dog. Anyways, humans are like very fragile, and pretty much anything could kill us. And I find that came in not funny, but. I'm just going to use the word funny, because if your proteins misfold, then that is what causes a mutation in your genes. And if it's a certain protein that causes a mutation in a certain location or your genome of a certain gene, that will pretty much initiate or like trigger whatever disease or disorder that it's associated to, essentially. Not all mutations are bad, obviously, and contrary to belief, mutations don't necessarily mean that the species are evolving, because mutations are random and happens frequently. Okay, I gotta stop nerding out about this. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm coli bacteria that everyone knows. Excuse me. Here's, oh my god. Okay, fuck it. Here's another fun fact. A lot of people think E. coli is bad, but it's only bad if it's found in certain areas, or like certain areas which are not supposed to be in your body, because we actually do have E. coli bacteria, which I believe, if I recall correctly, it's in your intestine. I'm not too sure. Let's check. Let's fact check this. E. coli. Yeah, so it's in the gut. We actually have a lot of bacteria that is in us. Of course it's beneficial, otherwise if it's harmful, then you should probably be dead by now. E. coli isn't necessarily bad because it's harmless when it's in the intestine, but if it were to travel to somewhere else in your body, that's when it becomes fatal. And that's how E. coli, you know, disease is very, how it comes about, essentially. Fun fact of the day, I suppose. I'm so sorry. Okay. Let's just continue, Luna. Okay, let's put some examples. Alright. Example one of E. coli. Another example, Lysabiol meliolati. E. coli are your typical example of bacteria where it's singular, it's circular, and more than 90% of it chromosome codes for proteins. I really hope that the yelling downstairs does not pick up on my mic. Hopefully. Your typical one. So, and one of the examples is Vibrio cholerae, which is a species causing cholera, and has two circular chromosomes where one is larger than the other. Okay. Rhizobium is a species of rhizobium plants, and it actually helps them by making nitrogen available to it. And instead of one chromosome, it has three. There we go. Other Other species also has. No, other species are not always circular. Their chromosomes. Who knew? I have no idea how that works, but it works. So many different kinds of plasmids. Okay. Oh my god, it's okay. Plasmids are pretty much DNA molecules. Kind of also useless, but not really. Let's see, plasmids. Essential genes used infrequently or under specialized conditions. Vary obviously in the number of genes. Plasmids are usually called extra chromosomal DNA because it's found separate from the chromosome. So it's not part of the genome. But it could be inserted into the bacterial chromosome. It's funny because they have genes. Plasmids have genes, but it's not in the genome, so I guess. Special types of plasma. I can't believe I keep doing this, but if you ever wonder why bacteria becomes resistant to antibiotics, which if you didn't know, antibiotics are for treating bacterial infections. That's why, obviously, you can't drink antibiotics if you have a viral infection. You have to have antiviral medication for that. But the resistance plasmid on bacteria is responsible for the bacteria's resistance to pretty much antibiotics, among other things as well. But yeah, more fun facts. Oh my god. I need to stop. F for the fertility plasmid and R which is resistant plasmid, and that carries antibiotic resistance. Just fucking this over. Okay. Fertility. Antibiotic resistance genes, which can also be transferred from donor to recipient. Looks like the fertility one. Plasmids can easily be modified to produce specific characteristics or to carry particular genes useful in recombinant DNA applications. There we go. logistics, particular, and this is why the company they call them as teammate applications. They replicate independently. Yeah. I'm not sorry. They could replicate on their own if it's a high copy number of plasmids. If it's low copy, that means you cannot replicate, and the replication process for that plasmid is tied to the chromosome. Plasmids are usually one or two copies per bacterial cell. Transferring bacterial genes via conjugation. Okay. What are the three ways to transfer to conjugation, transformation, transduction? Gene transfer, conjugation. Let's just start conjugation. Conjugation. Okay, let's see. Gene transfer. Of the propensity of bacteria to transfer genetic material from one to another. That's very useful. Bacterial gene transfer is always a one-way process where DNA is donated by one bacterium. So that means the donated DNA could be anything. So you have the donor, which is one of the bacterium, and then you have the recipient, which is the other bacterium. And it does not lose the genetic information when it transfers, which is pretty cool. Because you would expect it to. Oh god, okay, so stretch. Sweating. This is also a really good song. DNA could be plasmid fragment of the bacterial chromosome, or both. Transfer DNA is usually a newly replicated copy of the DNA in the donor's cell cycle, which means it should not lose any genetic information. Conjugation, transformation, and transduction. Conjugation. Forever. I should take a break. If you stuck through this audio with me, sorry for all the nerdy science talk. Hope you enjoyed studying with me. There will be more audios. Thank you for listening. Bye, guys.